This morning I want to share a message with you entitled, One Nation Under God. One Nation Under God. Now I'm going to have you to stand with me because the text that I'm basing, or I'm beginning this message with today, will be the scripture that we memorize together this month, okay? So I'm going to ask you to stand now, and I'm going to share this scripture with you. And after that, there's a prayer that I want us to pray together, and I'll put it on the screen. So it'll be one of those eyes open type of prayers, okay? And God still hears us even if our eyes are open, okay? So the scripture is out of Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. Let's read this together. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. One more time. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Now, let's pray this prayer together. Direct my thought, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by thy Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, that prayer verbatim was prayed by our first president, George Washington. You may be seated. Bob and Deb, we love you. I just now looked over there and saw you, praying for you. Love you much. Isaiah 33 and verse 22 that we just read was a scripture that our forefathers went to discern and receive revelation about what the government might look like for this new nation that was being established. Interestingly, there are three declarations made about the Lord. If you'll notice, the word Lord there is in all caps. That means whenever you're reading your English Bible and the word Lord is in all caps, it means that in the original Hebrew, the divine name was being written. You may have seen the YHWH. Some people will translate that Yahweh, some Yah, some Yehovah, some Jehovah. But it is the personal divine name that God revealed himself by to Moses. The best definition that I personally have ever heard, as far as I'm concerned, was by J. Wash Watts, who was a seminary at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. He wrote that the summation of the meaning of that name is, I am the God who continues to be who I have always been. And here Isaiah tells us the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. And hence, you can look at our nation and the governmental structure of our nation and realize that our judicial system, our legislative branch and our executive branch, those three branches, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branch, are right here. And this scripture would tell us that for those branches of government to operate as they should, there should be the acknowledgement that ultimately the Lord is our judge. No matter what human judges decide, we will one day stand before God as the judge. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver, regardless of what legislative bodies may do, what laws they may enact. Ultimately, there is a time that we will give an account as to our responsibility toward God as the ultimate lawgiver. And then The Lord is our King. Some nations have kings, some have presidents, some have emperors. You know, it was discussed early on in the formative years of our nation, you know, would we just mimic England? That's where our forefathers came from, and have a king, a monarchy. But see, the revolution started because of difficulties that lay therein. We wanted to have a government where if we were taxed, that we could have a voice in that. That's where we get that phrase, taxation without representation. Because the king was of England was taxing the people that lived here in this land as citizens of his country without the people who live here having any say whatsoever in it. And it goes on from there. But I wanted you to see here the judicial, the legislative, and the executive. Our judicial branch, we have 9 Supreme Court judges. Pray for them often. And thank God for recent decisions they have been rendering. Pray to God concerning previous decisions that have been rendered that I believe expose us to judgment and the curse. That's the judicial branch. The legislative branch, our Congress, is composed of 435 representatives from the 50 states, and they are redistricted depending on population. And there are 100 senators that make up the Senate. Those representatives make up the House of Representatives. The 100 senators make up the Senate. Every state has 2 senators. And then there is the executive branch, which is the office of our president, and of course a vice president and so forth. And so our forefathers, in seeking wisdom from God, saw that the scripture laid out that if we could model this, then maybe that would cause us to have a balance of powers here. That is, human men and now women put into places, that there would be a balance between the judicial and the legislative and the executive branches. Our country today has its problems. Some are very sobering. Some are extremely serious. But this scripture tells us that ultimately, you know, we should pray that every member of our judicial branch and legislative branch and executive branch would seek the Lord as judge, lawgiver, and king. Right? That when things come through the courts, what does God say about this? When something comes onto the floor of the House or the floor of the Senate, what does God say about this? When something comes to the desk of the President of the United States, what does God say about this? As God-fearing people, Christian believers, having the privilege and freedoms of living in a nation established on Judeo-Christian principles and established on the truths of Scripture, we need to be faithful in discharging our duty in the area of prayer concerning this matter. And so I want to share some big picture truths with you this morning. I'll be sharing several scriptures. I want to pace myself so that we can move through this and have a better big picture view, but also realize how serious our responsibilities are as Christian citizens, as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as sons and daughters of the Most High God, as well as our duties as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this land that we all love so very dearly. The first big picture truth I want to share with you is that Jesus is Lord over all nations. Communist nations, heathen nations, God-despising nations, atheistic nations, it matters not. When the curtain falls and the consummation of the age comes, there will be one who will sit on a great white throne. And all men of the ages, be they kings, emperors, or kings, will stand before him and give an account. Stand before him as sinful men. And apart from the pardon and grace that comes through the sacrificial act of Jesus and a person's belief in Christ, apart from that, there's no hope for any of us. The books will be open, and people will be judged on the basis of what they have done with the life they have been granted by God, their Creator. Whether or not you believe in God, it will matter not on that day in the sense that you're going to be there. Just because you may not believe in Him doesn't mean that day won't come, that He won't be seated and you won't be standing before Him. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But Jesus is Lord over all nations. Let me just share one scripture with you out of Psalm 33, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsels of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. You can fight the plan, but it won't change it. You may not like who's in charge, but He's not getting off His throne. He commanded it, and it stood still. You see, God does have a plan. You're part of that plan. He invites you into that plan. Jesus is Lord over all the nations. You see, Yahweh, God, Father, God, sent His Son as a man, as a representative of man to God. And Jesus perfectly obeyed the lawgiver's commands. He perfectly obeyed any judicial decrees the Lord had made. He perfectly submitted to the King of Kings, and as such has been crowned the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and has been given authority over all nations, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 tells us. Jesus is Lord over all nations. There's so much scriptural support that I could wax on about this, but I want to move on now and declare that nations can be blessed. Even though today we live in a fallen world, nations can be blessed of God. I believe there's a general blessing of God. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to live righteously and godly and soberly in this present world. I believe even people that may not regard God in their life, if they will form nations that are governed by these principles in Scripture about how you treat your fellow man and so forth, that there is a general blessing on that. Now, that's not for salvation. Understand what I'm saying. God ordained civil government. Most tribes that have been discovered that have never been part of the modern world in any way will have some type of laws and some type of acknowledgement. If people in this tribe do this, they have to pay this price. If they do this to the village, this happens to them. It's just encoded in our DNA. You see, we were all created with dominion. Originally, man was created and given dominion by God to oversee the earth that God had created. And there is a stewardship responsibility to God for that. But good news, nations can be blessed. Now, here's some word for you. In Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Any nation that will acknowledge that God is the Lord, He's the ultimate authority, there's a blessing. The people He has chosen as His own inheritance. Now, this specifically was for the nation of Israel. But by principle, it applies that people will acknowledge that God is the Lord. And as through the gospel of Christ, we become part of co-inheritors with Jesus. That's wonderful. Write this down. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Or when the righteous rule, or some translations, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. So, multiple choice. You want to rejoice? Want things to go better? Have more joy in your life? Go well with you? Or you want to groan? Be under the burden. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. Much could be said about that. I'm not going to get to saying it, okay? But just take note. We have a choice. Nations have a choice. Nations can be blessed. The United States of America has been a very blessed nation. If we would see God's blessings raining down, we need to take heed to Proverbs 29:2. But wait a minute. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Well, how do they get in authority in the United States of America? You see, I believe part of our obedience to Scripture is to realize that, okay, if the righteous rule, the people rejoice. We need to pray for the righteous to be given positions of authority, whether it's by election or by appointment. But not only pray, put our shoes on, get our car keys out of our pocket, drive down to the polls, and go in, guided by the Holy Spirit, armed with the Word of God, and check off, will this enable the righteous to rule? All right, I'm voting for rejoicing, or nope, I'm voting to groan. Now, I know sometimes it's a dice toss. But sometimes it's clear as crystal. Let's move on. Is this all right? If you don't like it, I still love you. All right? Number three, the nations will be judged. Now, I already mentioned earlier about how each individual stand before God. But there's a sense in which you can say the nations will be judged and nations are being judged. Just in our own lives, ultimately, there's going to be a judgment for people. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But also, there are certain judgments we incur in this life, consequences of our choices. Sin carries its own penalty. When you open it up and let it out, the end of it is it's going to hurt you, harm you, destroy you in some way. Nations will be judged. Matthew 25, I won't go there, but Jesus prophesies in the future at His coming a judgment of the nations. It's called the sheep and goat judgment. All the ethnic groups, all the peoples of the earth, there will be a judgment. But more particularly, more individually, and by example, let me call your attention to Leviticus chapter 18 in the Old Testament. I'll share a few scriptures out of Leviticus 18. But here's where we're going. I want you to see this. God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? And He's going to lead them into the promised land. He's preparing them for their entrance into the promised land. He's telling them that He's going to give them the promised land. But He also tells them why He is moving out those nations that are there that they're going to displace. Okay? That's the context here. And he's telling them, basically, I'm about to throw them out for doing these things, and then He tells them what those things are, and He says, now I don't want you doing them. Does that make sense? If he's going to throw a bunch of nations out for doing certain things, and then you go in there and do the same things, then you're going to get thrown out. Now, this is a little specific and somewhat graphic. but it's right out of the Word of God. Ready yourself. Leviticus 18 shows us what brought the nations of Cana to the point of judgment. First of all, incest, sexual abuse, and sexual defilement. You can read verses 6 through 19 that talks about uncovering one's nakedness, a reference to engaging in sexual intercourse. And he goes through all the forbidden lines. He draws the boundaries and says, this is forbidden, this is forbidden. And it basically speaks to incest. And it also would apply to sexual abuse and different types of sexual defilement. Our nation is scourged with these very things today. You can read verses 6 through 19, and it's abominable according to the Lord. The second thing on the list is adultery. You can read verse 20, you shall not lie sexually with your neighbor's wife. Adultery caused nations to be expelled. Third, child sacrifice, verse 21, you shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech and so profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. History and Scripture tells us about people who would offer their own children as a sacrifice to the god Molech. A furnace would be heated up. There would be 7 stations. The last would be a burning furnace. And in order to offer a sacrifice to this pagan god, a parent would throw their child into the fire while the drummers played so loudly and people shouted so loudly the screams of the children could not be heard. God said it is an abomination. The equivalent of that today is idolatry and abortion. God calls it an abomination for a parent to offer their child to us as a sacrifice. Well, people aren't doing that when they do. The idol involved is our own convenience. The idol involved is our own pleasure. The idol involved is our own will, the shirking of our responsibilities. Thank God that in July year past that we took a big step forward on this issue. And thank God that the state in which we live does not allow this. Thank God for that. Number 4 on the list in Leviticus 18, homosexuality. Now listen to me in this day of progressive Christianity and Christian deconstructionism and spun lies from the enemy. The Word of God, remember, He spoke. He commanded it, and it stands forever. Let God be true and every man a liar. Verse 22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Now, there may be someone in the audience that you have crossed those lines. There is redemption. There is forgiveness. I'm so grateful you are here this morning. You are welcome here. And if someone treats you meanly, you let us know. We want people to be loved with God's love here. And I love you. I have friends that strongly believe that there's nothing wrong with this. And I love them. But I cannot be true to this book from which I preach. Nor do I have the authority to say, God, you are wrong. God forbid. Close the book. Go to the house if we're going to do that. This is undergirded in New Testament revelation and Romans chapter 1 very clearly about men burning in their lust for one another and women exchanging the natural use for the unnatural. Well, I just think it's wrong. I think the Scripture's wrong. Oh, dear friend, remember, you hear me say it often. Isaiah spoke of the day when we would look at evil and call it good and look at good and call it evil. Let's listen to what we are saying. Next on the list, bestiality. What in the world? Verse 23 tells us. And you shall not lie with any animal and so make yourself unclean with it. It is perversion. Well, I never. That's good. But many have and many do. Listen. Thank God for being raised in Christian families, and I'm grateful for where I live in this nation. But folks, the underbelly of what the devil is doing in our culture is very perverted. It is very dark. It is very demonic. And I say that again from a place of conviction, but also compassion. Because it is a disruption and perversion of God's creative design and destiny for the highest order of His creation, human beings. You're sacrificing God's best. You're leaving the penthouse and going to the basement when you adapt this and believe this. God, help us. In verse 24 of Leviticus 18, a summary statement, it says, speaking after I've enumerated these things, after they have been enumerated, I should say, do not defile yourself in any of these ways. For the people I am driving out before you have defiled themselves in all these ways. I'm just reading Scripture right now, verse 25. Because the entire land has become defiled. I am punishing the people who live there. I will cause the land to vomit them out. So says the Lord in Leviticus 18. Well, that's the Old Testament. It is. But the God whom we serve was speaking. And there's no place in the New Testament that undoes or where He says, now, because of the cross, these things are all right. What He says is, now, because of the cross, you can be free. You can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. You can be blessed. That's the gospel. What can we do? In a culture where people are choosing to worship the creature rather than the Creator. Knowing that ultimately what happens because of the law of sinful progression, it is a downward spiral. What one generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. That's a law you see operative in the Word in Scripture. And an example by example in the lives of those in Scripture. What can we do? Quick little list for you. I've spoken to this first one already. Pray. 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 If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Church, pray. Secondly, honor God in our lives. All through this Scripture, God says, be holy, for I am holy. I have given you my name. That means you're carrying my name. Let people see my character. As Christians, we carry the name of Christ. That means people should see the character of Christ in our life. Honor God in your lives. A good start is don't do any of these things that he calls an abomination. Oh, may the Holy Ghost move with power upon this nation in this day. I mentioned to you last week, my friend Dan Hammer, Pastor Dan, who was here a few Sundays ago, shared with me of a man who had studied civilizations and is called upon to speak to people who have all kinds of degrees to give his lectures. And he said he studied the ancient civilizations all the way up to now. And he noticed two things that would be present in a civilization before its ultimate collapse. He said the first would be that it would become so divided there would be two factions that could not come to agreement on anything. The second one was there would ultimately be the acceptance of transgenderism. You know, when I talked about bestiality out of this list, there's now a thing called trans species, where you can self-identify as an animal. In schools, I heard a woman testify, a teacher, that certain school boards and systems, if a child identifies as a cat, then the teacher has to let them meow. I mean, where do you draw the line on this kind of thinking? Foolish minds are becoming darkened. God is giving over to a reprobate mind. People are heaping to themselves teachers who will tickle their ears. The war is on. What wasn't accepted at all, the push was made, the war was waged until it was, okay, now there's the toleration of what before could not be tolerated. And now from toleration there's the push. No longer is toleration enough, there must be the outright celebration of it. We just finished a whole month where something the Scripture forbids, we are told we are to celebrate this. And in our nation, you have the right to do that. I don't think there is a right to make people have to accept things that the Scripture forbids. See, there's a higher authority that we have to answer to. So it's moved from toleration to celebration. When the truth of the matter is, it starts out in Scripture as an abomination. And the enemy working through the spirit of Antichrist brings it to toleration and then pushes it to celebration. But what we need is regeneration. We need revival. We need awakening. This is serious. We need, third thing on my list of what we can do, teach our children the Bible. Oh, again, this week, having kids here 4 hours a day, 3 hours a day, studying God's Word, doing crafts, and even in snack time, there are women who worked in the kitchen in there. During snack time, they're also showing how the snacks they created represent the truth they're being taught on that day. It's beautiful. Make sure your children are being taught the Bible. Teach them at home. Bring them to church. We'll teach them about Jesus here. We'll teach them about being led by the Holy Spirit. We'll teach them about the authority of God's Word. Teach your children these things. If you don't teach your children, the Bible in today's world, the world will teach them all its their gender identity, all this new ideology that's absolutely, to me, insane. Common sense has been thrown out the window. The Word of God has been trampled underfoot. The Christian message is being mocked. Your children are going to be taught. You need to be careful what sites they're visiting on their phones. You need to do a little helicopter parenting over those smartphones. There'll be some devil somewhere that'll start whispering in the ears of your children and trying to confuse them. Now, all the years I've been living, up until the last few years, I never had any children in churches being confused about whether they were little boys or little girls. But the same methodology that's employed to teach children about the man in the red suit, you know, all the stuff he can do, and I understand tradition and fun stuff, but what I'm saying is you can train little children to believe anything. And the devil knows this. And then the devil will say, well, you want your child to be raised with freedom. He's whispering in your child's ear things, whispering things in your ears. You are called by God to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the Old Testament, when God, yes, give the Lord a hand for that. Raise them right. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel were told, you write it on the doorpost. You know, write it on your heart, wear it on your head, wear it on your sleeves. Word here, word there, word everywhere. That's a wonderful thing about children. You can teach them and raise them in the way that they need to go. But the devil knows that principle too. So teach your children the Bible. Next, vote in accordance with Scripture. I've already stomped a couple of times on that. And then the last one, share the gospel with people. That's the message that removes the blinders, unlocks the heart, and sets people free. You can do all these other things. Vote right and teach the Bible. But if you don't know Jesus, You can end up going to hell as a Bible-carrying, conservative person. You need Jesus. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not pick or choose, Bible buffet. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. It's to love your brothers and sisters in Christ with the Jesus kind of love. Our worship team's coming. Wednesday night, I have some other things I'm going to be sharing that ties in with this message. Wednesday night. Well, I'm just feeling right now that what we need to do in this house is let's step into this first thing I mentioned about praying. I want to open up this altar if you're burdened for this nation, or maybe you're burdened for someone you love that's under this ideology. It's not about, well, I'm right and you're wrong. It's not about arguing. It's not about scoring points. It's about living the life where you can have God's best and hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord when it's all done. It's appointed unto each of us one day we will die and we will give an account. I want you to stand with me. They're going to begin to play some worship music. And I just open this altar up. I believe many of you are going to come. And let's just have a time of praying. I may ask a few of you to come up here. Or I'll come down there and just ask you to take the mic and begin to lead us in some prayer in a few moments. But could we just fill this room with intercession? Can we just have some harp and bowl time here where we're mixing the intercession of the saints with anointed music? And ask God to move in our nation. Ask God to move upon our children, that we'd raise up a godly generation, that we'd be well armed for this battle that we're in, that we'd be able to love well and stand firm at the same time, that we could be faithful and true and fruitful and holy all at the same time. We can't do that without His grace. We can't do that without His mercy. We can't do that without His help. We can't do that. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us. Our salvation will come from the Lord. Just you begin to pray where you are. Some of you may want to be seated. If that's more comfortable for you, you want to lay on the floor, you want to kneel here at the front, please just join and begin to pray. Oh, Father God, in this room today, I pray, Lord, for the regenerating power of Your Holy Spirit to be at work. I pray, dear God, that any place where we've let go of the truth and we're embracing the lie, we pray that spirit of Antichrist be broken. That spirit of Antichrist that wants to change the laws, that wants to change the times, that wants to throw off God's timing, who wants to stop God's seasons of blessing, God's seasons of harvest. We come against that in the name of Jesus, oh God. We pray Your spirit will move upon hearts, men and women and boys and girls in this room, oh Lord. Just stir us up to pray. Stir us up to pray. Stir us up to pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You got a worship song? Okay, just do a little of that. You're going to have some worship flowing. You just pray in the flow of this worship, and we'll have a little bit more prayer here in a moment. Just keep praying where you are. Lord, we need Your presence. There's someone you need to pray for. Someone who's in a struggle. Someone who needs freedom. Of our intercessors to lead in prayer.
Father, You have brought us to a place and a time that we were born for this. So God, in Your presence, we bow and we humble ourselves before You, and we say that we are repentant in our hearts for what we see happening in our nation, where people are in their minds and in their hearts. And we cry out to You, Father. We make an appeal to You this morning that from heaven move in a way, let the winds of heaven blow up through this land. Father, there's a river of righteousness that flows in this land that You set the course on. You set the banks and the boundaries. And Father, it has been covered up with sin and degradation, Father, from generation to generation to generation. And Father, it is time for that river to be uncovered. Father, the shaking has come. And Lord, move upon us as people to cry out unto You and believe that Your hand of mercy and grace is not being lifted off of this nation, but you're covering us, oh Lord, through the blood of the lambs. The sacrifice that he laid to the cross is not in vain, not for this nation. And we call upon your heart this morning to move it away, Father, that will shake the hearts of men and women and bring them, Father, to the knowledge of Jesus Christ in this nation, because this nation is supposed to be a lighthouse to the world. You set us up for this, my God. You created us for this. And Father, we declare that the enemy will not have his way. We declare that, Father, you will have your way. In the name of Jesus.
Father God, we thank you that we have seen glimpses of godly government. We thank you for our founders who established things in your word. We thank you for early fathers in our country that established things according to your spirit, who desired to see their lives transformed by the gospel, who led selflessly to lay a foundation that we could pursue you in freedom. God, we thank you that through the years we've seen glimpses of godly government. I thank you, Lord, that in our churches that we have godly pastors and leadership that can lay out what the teaching of Scripture says. But God, I repent that our families have often not taken the gospel and led our families to know the goodness and the precepts of God. And I decree right now in the name of Jesus that we would begin to see a grassroots movement of families. Lord, I decree that there would be fathers raised up that would not just be in the home, but be active in the home. I pray, Lord, that we would see fathers raised up that would tell their kids the truth, that would demonstrate the truth in love and generosity with warm affection. I pray that you would raise up men in the home who would demonstrate this by loving their wives selflessly, who would give themselves freely to see the dreams of their wives come true. I pray, God, that we would begin to see such a movement, that kids would see love demonstrated in the home and have truth demonstrated in the home, that when they hear lies, they just know it's a lie. When they hear things that are manipulated and perverse, that they would just know that it's a manipulation and a perversity. God, I pray that you would raise us up in a way that we would be so full of love in the homes that people out there can say what they want, but we know the truth. And may it become so much, may it be multiplied so much that we would begin to see young kids know the truth to the point that the lies have no effect. May we win by winning our homes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that you've established something in us that we are capable and willing, Lord. And I just pray that we would see more fathers and mothers be willing to love each other, to love you, and to demonstrate that in the home. And Lord, we just decree that we are not afraid of the enemy. We're not afraid that he can steal from us, because we know, God, that you are God. And we know that we are safe in the shadow of your wings. So we refuse to be afraid. We refuse to run and hide. We just say we're here to fight in love and in goodness in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father, for the privilege that I've had to be born in America. Thank you for all of us that were born in this country with such a mighty call upon her, that she would be the evangelist to the world. As Robert Hunt stood on that beach that day with those pilgrims and dedicated this land to you, Lord, that from here would go the gospel to all the nations. So, Lord, I stand also in repentance for what we as my generation have done to neglect our duty to stand for you and teach our children your way. Forgive us as parents for being too busy to spend time with the children and pass on your love for family and for your word and through this country. And God, now, as Daniel of old repented for his family and his nation, God, I pray that we will truly repent, that there will be a remnant who will repent from this nation, that this nation can be saved, because we see the warnings all around. Our enemies have invaded our borders, and it looks impossible from man's perspective, but from your perspective, God, all things are possible. And we're asking that you will intervene, that you will do that that only you can do to save this nation and save our families. For your name's sake, oh God, we ask that you roll up your sleeves, as it were, and go forth as the Lord, the captain of angel armies. Send help from heaven, Lord, to us as we stand and fight for our families, for your reputation, God. Break forth against your enemies. Expose the workers of darkness, those who hate you and refuse to repent, God. We ask that you shake them out of their positions of authority and restore godly men and women in our government. From the White House to the State House to the Church House, oh God, we pray for repentance to come across your church. Those that are called by your name, God, restore the love and the fear of you and the love of your word, the love of those things you love and the hate of those things you hate. God, turn our hearts as your people again back to you, and cause our eyes to be open to see you as you really are. And God, forgive us for our rebellious acts towards you, for hardening our hearts and saying, I'll do it my way. But God, restore your honor in our hearts and in our homes. Restore the reverential fear of you, and turn us back as your people, that your name will no longer be blasphemed among the nations because of the way America lives. Restore America back to where she once was and where you have called her to be, according to the greatness of your power, we ask.
Let's all stand together again. And let's declare this scripture over our lives again this morning. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our... Who will save us? One more time. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. We decree and declare, Lord, you are our judge. You are our lawgiver. You are our king. You will save us. Lord, we declare, America shall be saved, Lord. We believe in Jesus' name, Lord. There's going to be that awakening, that repentance. Lord, thank you for how you can turn the heart of the king to flow like rivers of water. Lord, stretch forth your hand that with signs and wonders and mighty miracles you would make known the supremacy of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May his peace guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. May he surround you about with his holy angels. May he lead you in his ways as you lead your children in his ways. And may he use you as a powerful gospel witness this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, happy 4th of July. I hope you enjoy some watermelon, some barbecue, some dessert. But please, let's take our prayer for our nation to another place, especially this week as we celebrate. We're so blessed to live here in this land. This altar is open. Our prayer team members will be here. If you haven't given your life to Christ, come. Let us pray with you. If you're bearing a burden and need someone to pray with you, whatever it may be, we invite you to come. God bless you. Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus.